This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Just to give you a heads up, one of us is bound to say something not suitable for little ears. It is, after all, the 1 hour a day I spend away from my children. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, September 16th, the makeup-obsessed toddler edition. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog, Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom to three littles, Henry, who's 9, Oliver, who's 7, and Teddy, who's 4, and we live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
And I'm Ayman Ismail. I have one little. His name is Musa. He's 3 months old today. He's a lot of work. He's hitting that peak where he's like really interested in the world. So that means I'm drinking the same cup of coffee that I poured this morning. So yay that.
That is the most relatable, like the cold coffee. Well, Jamila had something come up last minute, so instead I have coerced my best friend slash sister mom slash basically co-parent, Michaela Smith, who is joining us. So Michaela, will you introduce yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much. My name is Michaela Smith. I live just 1 mile from Elizabeth. Thankfully, I have three littles just like hers. I have a 9-year-old, Asher's 9. William is 7, and Adeline, my precocious little 3-year-old, is keeping me very busy. In a previous life, I was a 3rd and 4th grade teacher and have a master's degree in English as a second language. I worked in high-need schools, wow. But now I am full-time homeschooling.
That's amazing.
And Michaela is my like go-to. We were just talking before the show, too, that she has 2 siblings, but they are... like, what'd you say, a 14-year age gap between you and the youngest. And so she's always like, well, I haven't done this with my kids, but I remember my siblings. So a wealth of knowledge, and we're so glad and thank you so much that you could pop in for today. On today's show, we are answering a listener question from a parent who wonders if her 4-year-old's current obsession with makeup is a normal phase or if she should be a little concerned about this new development. Then we'll give some advice to a listener whose daughter is struggling with some separation anxiety. What can she do to better support her daughter through these difficult feelings? And on Slate Plus, the weather is cooling, the leaves are changing, Halloween decorations are coming out. It's almost officially fall. So we're going to talk about some of our favorite fall-related activities. But first, we're going to kick off the show with our typical triumphs and fails. Ayman, do you have a triumph or fail for us this week?
Can I give you both a triumph and a fail?
That's my favorite situation.
Okay. So the triumph was we did our first domestic flight with Musa. Just a couple days ago, we got on a plane with a 2-month-old and we flew all the way to Kentucky so that we can spend some time with his mom's side of the family. It's been amazing. The extra help is divine. I'm getting the best sleep of my life, it feels like. And it was the most nerve-wracking up until the point where we got on the plane. We went online. We looked up all this information. We got all this advice. Somebody recommended getting a bassinet seat. I go to the front of where the hostess is like, is there a bassinet seat? She's like, no, what is that? I don't even know what that is. I'm like, okay, we're going to be fine. Somebody told me to start the feeding as soon as we start ascending so that his ears don't pop. He was like asleep and I wasn't going to wake him up. It was just so weird, but everybody was so accommodating. It worked out. He didn't even cry once. The pilot actually came and said, hey, you did actually a lot better than some of the passengers today. So congratulations. That's good. And it was easy. It was really, really easy. We were actually really worried about how we're going to get him from the airport to their house. And we had looked up like trying to buy a new car seat and how we were going to install it in somebody else's car. And we had no idea that the one that we had just buckles in. So that was a huge relief. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like as a parent, I'm always looking for like the device or the thing that I can buy that'll make my life easier. But it just clicks in. It's fine. So that was a huge success, huge weight off my mind. If I had to say fail, we only brought so many diapers and we already brought so many wipes. We were thinking there's no way he's going to blow past through these. But on the airplane, he pooped like every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And every single one of those poops like went all the way up his back. It was disgusting.
Always.
It's just, he never does that except for when we're in a situation where it's going to be impossible to change him. So that was uncomfortable, changing him on an airplane floor in the middle of a pandemic. But, you know, it's one of those things where you're just going to tell him when he's older and hope he laughs. That's sort of that.
You know, my best travel advice is that if he starts screaming, you should take him, because people are so kind to dads with crying babies and they are so mean to moms with crying babies. So my, like when people ask, I say, if dad is with you or you're traveling with some other man, and I mean, it's terrible, but it's true. Like everyone, if you send dad by himself to stand in the back with the baby or he's sitting somewhere, yeah, it's like everyone is offering advice. You send mom, it's like totally glare. You know, it's like, why is your baby crying? But a dad, they're just like, oh, look at how hard he is trying. So
I've noticed
I say
that.
Use that I've to your advantage. That.
You know, sometimes I'll sit out on the front porch to just try and get him outside. And yeah, all these moms just keep like giving me the thumbs up. And like, they're so enamored with this dad who's feeding their kid. I'm just like, it feels good. It's like being catcalled, but the dad version.
But you know what? You now have a list of like parenting first. Okay, done that. Now I know that they poop every 10 minutes. And then you'll bring 10 extra diapers and he will never do that again.
It's true.
Oh my God.
But see, now it's like you get the badge, you know, like survived the flight, changed a diaper on an airplane. Like, I feel like those are all badges you need to acquire.
I'm getting like the cred that I need to like hang out in the mom and dad section.
Yeah, exactly. I feel that we should be rewarded with badges or something, right?
Mom and dad are fighting should make their own badges. Or pins. Yeah. Maybe we can get pins made.
Like, and you should just get them when you successfully survive one of these situations. All right, Michaela, do you have a triumph or a fail for us this week?
I think it mostly turned out like a triumph, but it definitely felt like a fail. I sent my 9-year-old to spend the night at Elizabeth's for the first time ever. And he's a very, very anxious kid. And so I was like, he's like, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm like, hey, remember, you can come home at any time. Like, you know, Miss Elizabeth is really safe. You'll be fine. They literally live a mile away. So it was like, oh, this will be fine. And then he shows up and he informs Elizabeth he has to go to bed at 5:30. He won't eat any food. He like would not engage with anybody. And Henry is so kind and is an anxious child as well. And he was like sat with them and didn't push him. And they survived. I guess they stayed up until 9 yeah, after they went to bed at 5:30. So
he like got here and unpacked and went up to the room, was like, I have to go to bed. And so I text Michaela and I'm like, I mean, Michaela and I hang out a lot and our kids are at each other's house all the time. And so Asher, this is like a second home. He's here. He knows where food is, all of this. I'm like, he's insisting that we need to eat dinner right now because he needs to go to bed. And my kids usually go down a little bit earlier. I mean, not much. They're on basically the same schedule. It was actually really nice because Henry got a chance to kind of be, I think so often, like Henry's the one that needs help. It turned out the initial anxiety, well, Michaela texted back and said, is he sad or worried about something? And I was like, oh my gosh, it's probably that. We eat a lot of like butternut squash and things like that. We were making enchiladas with all of that inside of it. And I think he was just like, what is this? Because he's not a big fan of Mexican food.
No,
kind of
and
general.
We don't, like, my husband doesn't like squash, so we don't eat a lot of squash. So he had never seen it before. But the best part was when Henry went and made him a sandwich and said, are you going to eat this? Because if you don't eat this, I'm going to be really mad.
Henry made him the peanut butter, took him in and made him a peanut butter sandwich, but was like, I'm only going to make this for you if you eat it.
I love that.
It was fun. Henry just like sat there with him because after dinner, then I think when it started to be bedtime, he got a little anxious and I was like, do you want to call your mom or anything? And he's like, no, I'm fine. I was like, okay. But then he wanted to play by himself. So Henry just like got a book and they hung out. And 10 minutes later, they were playing around in there and then ended up staying up way too late. But they had fun. And the next morning, he was so proud of himself. Yeah. I think that is the
triumph. That's definitely the triumph. I think that he met this goal that he made for himself. And he did great.
And you were so calm and encouraging. I felt like that was great, too. Like, when I was texting you, I was like, I just want him to be happy and have a good experience.
Yeah, and it wasn't, you know, it's like when kids try a new thing, a new food. I didn't make a big deal out of it when he came home. I'm like, wow, you must feel really good about that. And then life moves on because it's not something that's, I don't want to feed that anxiety. So we, you know, it was just like, oh, cool, you did this. And then, you know, life moved on and they went swimming all day. So it was great.
And what a learning experience. I mean, I know adults that have similar problems. Like, I'm definitely one of those people, if I'm at the party and I don't know anyone, I'm just going to try and leave, yeah. You know? So I feel like these kids are going to carry this for the rest of their lives. This is like a character building night. I love that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think it's good. The spend the night thing is so hard, too, I think now. Like, I know Michaela's in the same boat. Like, there are so few people or situations that I personally feel comfortable with my kid, you know, like being away, that finding these opportunities for them to do those things in situations where I feel so safe, which is, I mean, one of the advantages is, since we move so much, like the idea that we moved in a mile down the street from, you know, someone we knew and had built this relationship with and that knows my kids and knows me, is like such an amazing opportunity for them to be challenged as well. Well, I should just take that as my triumph. For Henry. No, but I'm just going to give a little update because, you know, I came on the podcast and I asked where I should send the kids to school. And Jamila and Dan basically told me to not do the plan that I'm currently doing, which is where the kids are all over. And then Dan told me I was going to hate the drive. And so I wanted to give a report. Now, granted, it's not winter. I know it's not winter and I promise to update you in winter. But I am loving the driving situation. Now, granted, Michaela has kids at the same schools, and so we do split some of the driving. So I don't have to make every trip. And Jeff is helping a lot with kind of the morning because we have two, like, people need to go to kind of two sides of the city. But here's the thing. I love that I get to listen to podcasts. I love that, like, about half the time when I'm picking up kids, it's just the kids that I have in the car. So I actually have a half hour with just Michaela's oldest, because he gets picked up a half hour in the same spot that Henry gets picked up. One day I drive with just Teddy. And then in the morning, I have time with just Oliver and William, who are our middles. And they are the best in the car when it's just them, I think, because normally, like, I have three, and when we're all together, we have six. Like, there's a lot of talking. Getting to see these kids' personalities and just having the time for them to just tell me whatever they want to tell me, which Michaela and I laugh about a lot because sometimes they just go on about something that's completely not relevant to the day, but it's like they have an adult's attention, and I just think it is like the best thing. And I'm getting to make some phone calls when I'm by myself, which is nice, like just using that kind of windshield time to chat with some moms that I don't live close to now, and they're also kind of having that carpool time right about then. And it's just been a really nice, after basically never being alone, having some alone time and also getting that one-on-one time with each of the kids has been like really great. So again, wow. The driving conditions are super easy right now, but I'm actually really loving it. And Michaela and I have gotten really good about being like, hey, can you grab the library books because you're going to be driving by there. So we're also getting like Monday bagel pickup, like all those mundane things have kind of been worked into the schedule, which I love.
How long are you in the car for?
Too long is the moral of the story.
So it's like one school is like 20 minutes into the towards Denver, and the other school is what, 25 minutes?
Yeah.
Like the middle and the little, their school is 25 minutes in the other direction. So the only bad day is on Monday, I have to drive because I volunteer at the school. I drive from the school in the woods to the preschool.
Yeah. So that's like 2 hours in the car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a lot of time, but I feel like it's really good time. And actually, the carpool time too, because we have to sit in some carpool lines. Like, I bring my cross stitch and I try to just really not like be on the phone then, but like be reading my book or doing my cross stitch. And it's become this like little pocket of time where I'm like, oh, I'm going to have like 10 minutes to get this task done, or I'm going to do this like kind of me time, doing something that I enjoy as opposed to like emailing or any of that. Like, just taking that time and saying like, I get these 10 minutes. Again, now I can roll down the window and like the weather's nice. It's great. I firmly understand that in like any day now, we're going to get 2 feet of snow and I'm going to be like, how am I supposed to drive in this? But until then, I choose joy.
Choose joy. That sounds great. I mean, having alone time itself is like therapy. And the fact that you get to listen to podcasts and just do you, that's so important and healthy.
I feel like I'm learning. It's nice.
We're growing up.
Yeah. All right. Before we go any further, let's take care of some business. First, please subscribe to the show. It helps us out and the show will automatically show up in your feed, so it's good for you and for us. Plus, if you want even more of our show, you should become a Slate Plus member. You'll get a whole bonus segment every single week. Here's a sneak peek of what you could hear today, all about fall fun.
No, it's really fun because the elk, they have the mating rituals and they bugle and it is the most bizarre and most fun. It is really what it is. And so
where are you taking your kids?
We are staying in a cabin. We are going to go see the elk. We are going to teach our children about, I mean, this is like everything I love. We're going to go out in nature and teach our children about reproduction.
Oh, no. This is about to get rated R, isn't it? Yeah.
Not only do you get fun extra segments like that, but you'll even get bonus episodes for shows like Culture Gab Fest and Big Mood, Little Mood, and you get unlimited reading on the Slate website without ever hitting the paywall again. So if you want to support us and support Slate, sign up for Slate Plus. It's only $1 for the first month. Just go to slate.com/momanddadplus. Slate's parenting newsletter is the best place to be notified about all our parenting content, including Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Care and Feeding, and much, much more. Get all of Slate's parenting content right in your inbox every week. You can sign up for that at slate.com/parenting email. But first, let's take a quick break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
And we're back. All right, on to our first listener question. It's being read, as always, by the wonderful Shasha Leonard.
Hi, Mom and Dad. My daughter is 4 and has recently become obsessed with makeup. She'll secretly sneak into my closet to put on nail polish or draw eye makeup with black marker and crayon colors on her lips. I think her exposure mostly comes from seeing me doing my makeup, but maybe also from the few instances when I caught her watching YouTube clips for older kids. Also coupled with this development is a lot of talk about becoming a princess, wanting only pink dresses and loving all stickers that are pink and pretty. I grew up in a conservative household where makeup was a big no-no for young girls. But I also remember how I once stole some makeup to paint my face when I was around her age. What are the norms for you guys? Do you encourage or discourage this type of behavior? Or do you plan to let it develop naturally? I obviously want to encourage my daughter to try different things and not get distracted by looks and pretty dresses all the time. But given that she's only 4, am I worrying a little too early?
Michaela, since you are the sole parent of a daughter currently among the three of us, and she's about this age, you're a little bit younger, but what are your thoughts about this?
I wear makeup very seldomly, but they notice when I do. Like if I put on mascara, my daughter will follow me in and she'll be like, what are you putting on your eyes? Can I put that on my eyes? And my boys will also ask, can I do that? And I try to keep it very gender neutral, like, you know, just explain what I'm doing. Some people like this, but don't tie it to beauty or looks or anything like I look more beautiful with this or it increases my self-value. I say, I like to wear it sometimes. It makes me feel more confident or, you know, some people like to wear makeup because they just like it so that it's not like girls wear this or boys wear this. And I also like to have the metacognitive talk, like this is something I like to do. That's not something I have to do. Some people like it more. My sister is a huge makeup wearer. So that's more where I went through this. She would sneak makeup. My mom has a picture of her wearing red lipstick and it's all over the carpet, all over the, so she was real into it. And my mom definitely went through the stage of saying, hey, let's explore this. There's a time, there's a place, here's your own makeup kit. this is when we wear it. But then other times, like when we're playing, we don't need to wear it. There's a time and a place for it. And I think that's definitely where I'm going to go with any of my children that want to wear makeup. There's a time and a place. When you go to school, it's not appropriate. I know Dan has talked about it too in the past about going, you know, you wear it, you can't wear it to school, or you can wear very little. And so those are things I haven't quite gotten to yet.
Amon, what do you think?
I don't know. I feel like maybe you might be a little too worried for this age. 4 years old is really young, like really, really young. And if it's play, it's play. So it could mean that this is just like maybe a bonding opportunity for you two, or maybe you guys can get together and she can watch you put it on and you can like put it on her and kind of have fun. Maybe it could be like a bonding activity. As far as like habit building goes, I keep telling myself not to get worried about this like 3-month-old that I have. Like, it's fine that he's doing XYZ. He's not even going to remember this. I'm kind of thinking maybe I'll wait till around 7 before I start thinking to myself, like, what he starts getting used to or start using might actually become like a problem. Like, if he starts doing things because he knows that other people want him to do so, or if he's building up these habits where I think that he might be, it might lead to some like toxic behavior down the line. I think maybe 7, 8 years old is when I'm going to start pulling him aside and explaining these things to him and being like, look, this is how, like, this is the world that we're in. Here's how these things might lead to the next thing. I worry about you. I love you. Let's try doing things this other way. But then again, I really don't know what I'm talking about. This is sort of what I'm feeling.
I mean, I feel like when we've had questions like this in the past, something that stuck with me that Jamila always says is like, first of all, there is nothing wrong with being like, quote unquote, girly, with pink and wearing makeup, regardless of what gender your child is or however they're identifying. There's nothing wrong with that. As I think what we worry about more is the motivation, right? Like, are they doing this because they feel like it's a necessity, or are they doing this because it makes them feel good and it's something they like and they're experimenting with? So I think, like, just on its face, there's like nothing wrong with playing with makeup. I think having conversations about why she likes it. Some things I do when I read this think that should be addressed are, again, Michaela, you said this, basically like there's a time and a place and a space to do this, and enforcing that or setting that kind of boundary. Like, when is this appropriate? I would say at this age, like, it's only really appropriate with, you know, moms or dads or whoever, an adult supervision, in the same way that, like, we don't give the kids finger paints all the time. We don't give them Play-Doh to just like get out whenever they want and squish places, that this is like a supervised activity. These are the times we can do it. And it's a good time to start teaching some of those things. Like, sure, you can play with all of this and see how it works on your face and how it looks. But it's also a fun kind of bonding time where you know, this is lipstick and it's cream and this is kind of what we can do with it, versus like letting them use it like a crayon. I just think there is an opportunity to like guide this and provide some structure. The other thing I was thinking about though is like how often we say in these moments, like with this makeup, or we've had questions about like dressing, we say to the child, like, you can wear this if you feel good, basically like the confidence building, but you are trying not to place any emphasis on it. But like inadvertently, you're also like talking about your own image all the time, buying pretty dresses and big bows and saying like, you know, oh gosh, you look so pretty in this. This makes you so pretty. Like those kind of things, that you're, you know, doing their hair, like all this stuff. But then you say like, but you can't wear makeup. Like, I think that's like a very confusing message. So trying to sort of get the message all together. And if she likes makeup, maybe there's a way to like get good quality stuff, because, you know, these little kids' skin is like very, not all makeup is great quality, and their skin is so sensitive. So making sure that what you're using is washable and has, you know, good ingredients that is not going to give them rashes or anything like that. But just trying to tie in everything and not just like, you're not old enough for makeup, but I think you're cute in this dress, to me is a very confusing conversation, instead of saying like, oh yeah, it's fun to dress up. Do you feel good when you put this on? Do you like the way that makes you look? Is this like a creative expression? Because there's a lot now of the YouTube videos about makeup are about being creative. And in so many ways, that's an art form in the same way that painting or other things are. And you certainly don't want to squash that. But it's okay also to say, like, no, you can't wear makeup to preschool, right? You can't wear it out of the house. You can't, whatever those rules are for you.
I think also something else that struck me is, like, with food, we don't want to say all sugar is bad and say you can never have sugar. We have sugar once a day. We have a treat once a day so that it's not put on a pedestal, and not saying, no, you can't wear makeup until you're 10, or putting it away, giving that opportunity to explore it in a safe and protected way. And going back to what you said, Elizabeth, we say you can't wear this dress to preschool because you'll get it dirty. You're not going to wear makeup to preschool because you're playing out in the dirt or whatever, and it might get in your eye, or there's like a practical reason.
Yeah, that's
good. Not just a value reason.
I liked what you said too about making it gender neutral. Like, I had, in fact, when I read this question, I originally thought, like, well, what experience, you know, do I have? I have three little boys. And then I was thinking, like, Oliver, who's the middle one, loves having his toes painted. And so I've really been able to make that into kind of like self-care time and spending some time teaching him to care for himself, because he loves that pampering. And I think that's great. And it's something I definitely want, you know, my kids to have, is this, like, we need to keep our feet clean and we need to keep our toes trimmed. And if, as part of that, also, it's time one-on-one. Like some of the reason I think he likes that is because he and I are spending time together and we do this thing and we paint our nails and then we sit and we read a book while they dry, right? Like, what, we could be doing anything and he might really love that. So, like, thinking about too, how to turn this thing that they're interested in to quality time, right? Like, it doesn't have to be this forbidden thing, like you're saying, Michaela. Like, it can be something that you explore together safely, tying in like other lessons. I mean, there's so much about makeup that is about self-care, because if you're going to let her wear it, she also has to learn to wash her face and take it off and to be careful about how you put it away, because these things are fragile. I mean, I think these are pretty low stakes things to learn these lessons about.
I feel like I'm learning a lot. So I had, for the longest time while my wife was pregnant, we all had just believed that we were having a girl. And it's because every time we went to any spot, the people always look at her belly and say, that's a girl. I know what I'm talking about. That's a girl. So we had put it in our minds, like, okay, these people probably know what they're talking about. And all the way up until the point where we found out what the gender was. But during that time, I had already, like, plotted out my future daughter's whole life. And I had already, like, had talks with my mom saying, never call her pretty, call her smart. Or always, yeah, like, don't ever make anything about how cute she is. Like, I really want her to be confident in herself outside of that. The point I'm trying to make is it sort of leaks into how I'm trying to raise my son now, in the sense where I am trying to instill in his mind that it really isn't about how you look or how you dress. It's really all about what, like, how smart you are and how good you are at putting things together and that kind of thing. Like, that's where the real value in your life is. It's sort of weird, but I feel like maybe even now the skin on my arms raise whenever anyone kind of needs to pinch his cheeks and be like, oh, you're so cute. I'm like, no, he's not. He's a genius.
I actually have been thinking about this exact thing a lot, because I agree with you. I try to give compliments, especially like to older kids, right, who can comprehend what's going on, like about the thing, like, wow, that was so kind of you. But there are also instances, like when I get dressed up and I'm trying to look nice, it feels very nice to have someone tell me essentially, like, you made an effort and boy, it paid off. You look really nice. I hope you feel good. And I don't know how to turn, like, because I know it feels good to receive that compliment. And when I see one of my friends and clearly they have made an effort or they bought something and they just look great, like, and some of that is like when you've made the effort and you feel good, you look good, not necessarily because of the effort you made, but because you feel good about what you've done. You know, you're feeling good about yourself and that reflects as beautiful. Like, how do we give those compliments without, I think, like, making that the only compliment, right? Like, I love my friends because they are smart and they are kind and they are compassionate. But I also want to be able to say to them, like, you look amazing today. Yeah. You know, like, you, this thing you have looks great. I really struggle with, like, how do I balance that? And how do I balance that with my kids? Like, sometimes they really do just look so cute.
So is there a way that this young 4-year-old girl can play with makeup and experiment with this kind of thing without conditioning herself to feel like she needs makeup to look cute or pretty?
I mean, I think it goes back to that metacognitive thing where you can only control what you can control, right? So I can talk about, I do this because I like it, because I like the way it feels. How do you feel when you wear it? But then they see magazines, they see TV. You can only do so much and control who sees it and what their reaction. I do think, Elizabeth, a great response would be, like, you're so good about asking them, how does that make you feel? Like, how does this make you feel? And then if they say, oh, I feel pretty. Yeah, I think that does make somebody feel pretty. Like, it doesn't, it's not like, oh, you look pretty, but yeah, echoing their feelings, repeating what they've said.
Yeah, and I guess you can say too, like, you know what I like? I like how you look so confident, like, you know, because you've done this yourself or because you've done this. I will say the asking, what do you think, has come from years of being presented drawings that I have zero idea what they are. And, you know, they're like, mommy, look. And you're like, tell me about it. And they're like, do you love it? And I'm like, what do you think? You know, like, oh, yeah, okay. That's amazing. I love that you've done this. And I feel like some of the, like, Iman, kind of what you're asking about the makeup is, maybe that's the thing, is that when they present to you their made up face, you can say, what do you like most about what you just did? Mm. Oh, I like that I put this blue eye. You know, why do you like that? Oh, because of this. I love that you love that. Like that, you know, I love how happy you seem putting on makeup, right? Like, whatever that is, or being creative. Like, I think there are those opportunities for that, but it's hard.
Yeah.
Well, letter writer, basically, we think, go have some fun with makeup.
Yeah.
Who knows if we know what we're talking about? We're so thankful that you wrote in. We hope we helped. Maybe we just really made it clear that we're
more difficult to understand.
We're equally as confused.
We're sorry, letter writer. We're sorry.
You're not here alone. I mean, fundamentally, that's what we're trying to tell you. You're not in this alone. Yeah. We're all here with you. Well, if you're out there listening to us and you'd like us to attempt to answer your parenting question, you can email us at momanddad@slate.com with any parenting question. And this is what you'll get: a lively discussion about how we have no idea. All right. We are going to take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And back to the show. All right, we are moving on to our second listener question. Take it away, Shasha.
Dear Mom and Dad, my husband is starting to travel for work again, but my 4-year-old is his shadow and did not take her dad's first trip very well. Last night, between my 15-month-old who refuses to sleep and my 4-year-old crying for him, I've gotten next to no sleep. Are there any books out there so I can get my 4-year-old used to her dad traveling sometimes? She spent hours crying for him until I let her sleep on his side of the bed. I know it's okay for her to feel like this, and it's something I would expect, but I want to make this easier on her and on me. It's been an awful day.
Okay, Eamon, before you take it, I want to say I so feel for you in this. We, as a military family, the military member is gone a lot, and I have definitely been here, and I read your letter and I just say, like, my deepest empathy goes out to you. Do you have any thoughts, though, on how to lighten the separation anxiety?
Yeah, this is something that I had very badly when I was growing up. My dad worked at night, and so all day he was in sleep. Basically, our schedules were backwards, so we didn't really spend a lot of quality time in that sense. But one of the things that was really comforting was that he would sometimes, like, drive me around in his car. We would have, like, alone time a little bit more often. That actually really put me at ease and made me feel like I wasn't losing my relationship with my dad. And I think that's really where, like, the source might be coming from. Like, you almost feel like you might be losing your father. I really feel like that could be the source. So if this 4-year-old can spend some alone time with dad a little bit more, feel like they still have that relationship a little bit more. And even if there's, like, a city with a skyline, you can almost point and be like, that's where he is. He's right there. He's going to come back. Or if there's a way to, like, do a phone call in the middle of the day, any of these kinds of things will make the baby feel like there's still a relationship there. Even though he's not here physically, there's still this connection that's strong no matter what's going to happen. Yeah, I still miss my dad, you know? Like, I don't see him all the time anymore. Maybe I'll call him after this. I still have this, like, separation anxiety. It's not going to ever go away, I don't think. I'm 32 years old and I miss my dad. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Maybe there's, like, a fun nursery rhyme there that you can, like, sing. I don't know. There's something there.
Michaela, you have a lot of experience with anxiety.
Wow.
Yes, I do. Yeah, my husband has anxiety. My oldest has anxiety. My middle thinks that the oil on his skin might poison him. Aww. It's quite entertaining. No, I mean, really, I was thinking to myself that we read, especially when my oldest went to kindergarten, we read The Kissing Hand, that book. And so that's helpful. Like, we had, and Elizabeth, remember, we had a lot of trouble with him going to MOPS, when mothers are preschoolers. Yeah. So we made special bracelets that I wore and he wore. So he knew every time he looked at the bracelet that mommy was wearing the bracelet and he could look at that. I don't have tons of experience. My husband works here and so he's home every night, but he has traveled for conferences. And we do, like, a special party, dinner, sleepover in our bed, even if it's often, like, something different, recognizing that, yes, this is different and we're going to acknowledge that it's different, and then we're going to go back to regular life. But, you know, just doing things a little bit different because things are different, instead of pretending everything is fine.
I mean, fundamentally, some of this is just that anxiety, be it for, mm-hmm. like, fundamentally, Eamon, you're absolutely right. It's about the relationship, right? And for kids, relationship is all about proximity. Like, is this person here? And what happens when they're not here? But when they get so worked up, I know I get really flustered. Like, that is the hardest time for me. When I haven't gotten sleep, they're crying. It's hard for me to have someone gone. And so even though you haven't had, like, this specific separation anxiety, I think you do well with all of your kids, like, in this moment of panic, kind of helping them come back down and move on. So do you have any tips kind of on that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely with my oldest, who definitely has anxiety. And of course, he's 9, so it's a little bit different. This letter writer has a little girl that's 4, and so that's a little bit different. But things like, I have his warmie, which I know Elizabeth has recommended before, and he heats it up and he uses it, and it's heavy. It's a piece of weight, so a sensory piece, and that sometimes helps. His heated blanket. We also talk about before it's going to happen, what's going to happen, what we're going to do that's fun, and when daddy's going to come home. So we're marking off when people are going to come home. If that's my dad travels a lot and he lives with us, and my 3-year-old will definitely be like, when's Papa coming back? When's Papa coming back? And we mark it on the calendar and we talk about it. We call him. We video chat so that there's some, you know, like you said, Eamon, like we make sure that relationship is still whole because she loves her grandpa. But then we also, we mark it, and then we have not a big celebration because that tends to make separation anxiety worse. Like when he comes back, we're just like, yay, let's do something fun. Like we'll go get lunch or something, but nothing huge. And then life continues. So it's just kind of a normal part of life that he's leaving. But yeah, the once they get worked up, it is a little bit hard and you just deal with that. And I know for myself, part of it is that then I'm tired, like you said, Elizabeth, and I'm in reframing that for myself and realizing they might be picking up some of my anxiety about my husband being gone, about some of these other things. I'm really checking in with myself and how am I feeling? And again, that metacognitive piece talking about, yeah, I feel sad too. And here's what makes me feel better. Or here's, you know, I'm going to feel better when dad comes back, but what can I do in the meantime?
I think that's all such good advice. Preparation to me is such an important thing when dealing with kids in general, so that they know what's coming and then they know what to expect during the time that dad's gone, and they kind of know what to expect when you know the traveling parent or whoever comes back, so they understand kind of what the flow is going to look like. I was thinking the first thing I wanted to say to this mom is like, listen, when dad's traveling or when your co-parent, whoever is traveling, it's okay to change the rules. It's okay to have everyone sleep in the bed. It's survival. At least that's how I've always treated it. It's like the kids actually, now that they're older, there's like when daddy travels protocol. Like we make really easy dinners. I do a lot of like breakfast for dinner, just like fun things with minimal cleanup, cereal for me, just because that's easy for me. It takes away that nighttime when normally like one of us is doing, you know, dishes and the other person's putting the kid to sleep. Like, so I think it's okay to kind of say we can't do things the same way. The Maslow's hierarchy of needs would say like you all need to sleep. And if he comes home and there's laundry everywhere and whatever, because you have a 15-month-old and a 4-year-old, that's okay. So I think first just like completely don't worry about the standards. There's when he gets home, he can help with that. I totally forgot about the bracelet thing. I think that's such a good idea. I had listed two other ideas that we've used, which is that we have like, we call it the sleep team, and it's like two little stuffed animals, and in the house they live together and they're so happy. When we travel, what the parent that's traveling takes one and the home family takes the other, because we've also had situations where like I take one kid and go somewhere and the other kids are here, right? So the sleep team breaks up and we send pictures of the sleep team to each other. So like, hey, what's the sleep team doing that's with dad? This is what he's doing. You know, here he is in dad's suitcase. Here he is on the airplane. And just like quick text that I can show the kids, right? And then we take pictures of our sleep team guy at, you know, breakfast with us, or here he is doing carpool, whatever. And we send those to dad. And that gives us something also to talk about when they call, you know, like he can say, oh, I saw whatever the sleep team guy's name is here. I did this, you know. You can do that with like making a flat version of your kit. I mean, you can get crazy with this, right? But I think having something that is a really quick way for the parent that's traveling to send something to your phone that you can show the kid that like instantly says, this is something we're doing together. It like ties you back together. You haven't been forgotten. You know, dad's doing this thing. Here they are tucked in where dad's going to sleep. Here they are, you know, doing this. And then it's almost in some ways better than a phone call, because you can pull it up and say, when they're getting worked up, let's check on what the sleep dad and the sleep team are doing, you know, and then you have those. So I think that's a good option. The other thing I really like is the Vox books. If you have someone that's traveling a lot, you can record the voice reading the book and open it up and it reads to them. And I love these when we've done deployments. This is almost always like in a deployment kit that I give or that I've received, is like, whoever's going to travel can record this storybook. And then anytime you open it, you can hear that voice. Because again, I think it's that connection. Kids have a really hard time understanding, I think, that their relationship is going to be okay when the proximity is not close. We do countdowns with a paper chain. So I make a paper chain for longer things and we tear them off. I like that because that's when cool. Plans change, I can add links. So a lot of times with deployments, this is maybe less relevant to business trips, but with things like that, you will all of a sudden find out that 4 more days have been added, or they're coming home 2 days early. Like things are, the chain is sort of generally you know, shows how long we have. And as it gets shorter, then maybe you start counting it. But it's very easy to add or take away so that we're kind of reflecting the current situation. And if you do those things, then the kids get into them, cutting the paper strips, folding them. It's like that's something that you can do with dad before he leaves or as part of that preparation. So they see it coming. They can actually see the chain getting smaller. Those are things I like. Okay, she specifically asked for books. So, of course, I have books. The Kissing Hand was on mine list, too. I love that book. It's a little raccoon mama, and she kisses the baby's hand. And then she says, like, put it on your face, right?
No, I think she, whenever you want it, you can open it up and know that I've kissed there.
Oh, yes, yes. She puts it inside the hand. That's right. But the point being, this is like a cute little thing. I also really love this book called The Invisible String that sort of says we're always connected. It's also a great book for loss because it sort of talks about that proximity is not what ties us together. We're always tied together. So I love that. There's a very cute book called Nick and Nellie that has a little girl and her dog, and they are visiting grandma for the summer, and that deals with kind of homesickness. So kind of the reverse of the situation, but the same idea. Of like, how do you deal with that? There's also this great book, but this one comes with a warning. It's called The Magic Box. Preview this book. If you do not want to make a magic box, do not read this book to your children. It is wonderful, and it has a great little thing for what this family does when they have a parent that travels. If you read this book to your children will want to do this every time. If you are that kind of parent, it's lovely. I love it. It's like very fun. The idea was already, you know, you read the book, you have the idea, you guys do the magic box. If that is not your thing, do not get this book and do not read it because your kids will be mad. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I want to say one thing about the sleep team. I think that's a genius idea. I'm always like a big believer in giving the baby, I'm gonna stop calling them babies. I have a baby. They're not all just babies, but I'm a big believer in giving your kids responsibility so they feel like they're doing something, that they have to, you know, hold up their end so that the family could be good, right? So yeah. I love the sleep team because it almost balances it out. It's not just that you miss your dad. Now your dad also misses you. And so that we have to get together and we have to show some support for dad, because let's make sure that we have like a smiling picture with this one piece of the sleep team so that he knows that you were okay. And I love that. It almost feels like that's something to feel accomplished for.
I had never thought of it that way. And now I almost want to cry because I'm like, you're right. Like, we're also saying we miss the parts that aren't here.
Yeah. Yeah. And the parts that aren't here miss us back. And so we need to be as good as we can, and so that we can, you know, be strong for daddy, I guess.
Yeah. Like that. It really, I think, emphasizes that family, that it's not just that he's left, right? Like, he's had to go in some sense.
Yeah.
You know, to help the whole family, because if I would hope that's why everyone's struggling, right?
He just needs a break from you because you're all out of work.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
I love too that Elizabeth, you had lots of ideas that were activities, things that the kids can do and be busy and writing letters and doing all those things. Here, let's make a portfolio of all the pictures you have colored while dad was gone so we can show him. You know, things that they're like excited to do. So it's like dad's leaving. Oh, yes, we're going to go to the zoo and we're going to take our sleeping buddy to the zoo and show. So there's something that they're looking forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that especially if he's gone for a long time, the more activities, the better. I really, though, want to come back to saying like, get sleep. Do not worry about anything else. Everybody wants to return to happy, healthy family, not necessarily like clean house and the standards of your normal situation. So it's completely okay. If I can say anything, any parent out there, it's completely okay.
Elizabeth and I are total opposites. Right. And I am, my house is functional. Hers is beautiful, but we still make it work.
Bottom line is you're doing fine.
No, it's just a different way people function. And it's A-okay to just be like, hey, this is cool. You may have your laundry unfolded on your bed, and it's okay.
It's okay. I think Dan, there's a time when Dan talked about how he went through a phase where it was just like the laundry lived, the clean laundry lived, and they just gave up folding for a while. And I feel like that's such a good, like, whatever that is for you, in this moment, like happy, healthy, like functioning with their basic functions.
I just feel like at four, like I had a 4 and a 2-year-old just like that. And I felt like my entire life was survival. Like it was just survival. I had one kid running one direction, one running the other. And if dad wasn't around, then it was like dire survival. And so that's A-okay.
Well, thank you so much for writing in. We just, our hearts go out to you, and we want you to know that you're doing a great job. Whatever it is you're doing a great job. We hope you're getting sleep. If you have an update, like if you tried one of these things, or you came up with something else and it worked, please let us know. We love to get updates, and keep our listeners love to hear what's going on with you as well. We feel very invested yes. in all of you.
We love you.
To the rest of you out there, are you looking for some truly excellent parenting advice? Well, that's what we try to do here. So please email us at momanddad@slate.com. All right. Now we are moving on to the part of the show called recommendations, where we recommend things that we love. Michaela, do you want to go first?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a good recommendation that actually just kind of fell in my lap. I took the kids to the pediatrician for my boys for their yearly well check. And I just kind of had talked to Usher ahead of time and said, hey, we're kind of anxious. I'm going to talk to the doctor about it. So he knew it was coming. He said, yes, that's fine. And I talked to the doctor and I said, hey, we're having a lot of anxiety. And the pediatrician asked, like, how bad is it? You know, asked some probing questions, and then said, hey, let's get you referred for our counseling list. So then I had someone from their office call me and say, hey, here are some counselors that fit. And we just had our parent intake with a counselor that specializes in childhood anxiety. And it was such a good fit. Now, Asher has not seen her yet, but I'll go with him the first few times to set up a relationship and, you know, establish trust. And she was such a good resource, way more than I could, that I know anything about. And so I would highly recommend talking to your pediatrician. My insurance also has a behavioral health line that you can call, because basically the first thing she said was a 9-year-old should not have anxiety like this, should not have to deal with it. And here are ways that we're going to help. We're going to sword fight, and we're going to talk about our feelings and things that really gave me just relief that he won't have to live feeling scared all the time. So that hopefully will be a really good thing. But I would recommend it. Talk to your pediatrician, call your behavioral health line, get that. Even if you think, oh, maybe it's not on something that I need, my child needs, learning these coping skills now helps us later in life. So we aren't the anxious people that most all of us are.
I think that's a great recommendation. And could have also been a triumph, because I think as a parent, it's so hard. Like, it's easy to ask for help with the physical stuff that's wrong with our kids, but I think sometimes the mental stuff feels like, oh, well, is this a problem? Or like, how, you know, so I think that's a great recommendation, to just have that conversation with that first line, you know, like if you call the counselor and it turns out it's no big deal, that's great. But
And she was real upfront with me. Hey, this is something that it sounds like would be a really good fit. And they will say, hey, I don't really think that I do this, but I can recommend someone else. And everyone has been really helpful, which I was afraid that, you know, sometimes people treat you when you have anxiety, like, oh, just buck up. You'll be fine. And they were not like that. So that was really helpful.
That's an awesome recommendation. Amon, what do you have for us?
I have something that's been really helping me. Giving compliments out for free has changed my marriage in a huge way, especially right now. I've just noticed that both my wife and I are starting to, at the 3-month mark, it's starting to take its toll on us. Neither of us are like really that excited about getting up in the middle of the night anymore to feed the baby. We used to be. we neither of us couldn't wait to get our hands on the baby, and now we're just kind of looking for any reason to hand them off. But I just started giving my wife compliments for no reason about, like, wow, this bottle is really clean. You did an amazing job cleaning the bottles last night. I'm going to try and do it up to your standard. And she'll kind of think it's funny, but it's really reassuring, because I sometimes catch myself only really speaking up now that I'm, like, exhausted when something's wrong. You know, if something's like, oh, maybe we need to change this onesie out because the zipper gets stuck and it's really annoying, I'll also just make sure that I'm complimenting as much as I can. And I think she started to do it back, and it's just created this better atmosphere, and I think we're just a better family for it.
I love this. Everyone go compliment everyone more. That's what we need, honestly.
Just give it a try.
Give it a try.
Give it a shot.
And let us know. Let us
you never know.
I'm literally wearing a shirt that says kindness matters. Hey, look.
Yes, yes.
I am recommending a very fun poetry book that we've been enjoying with all three of my kids, which I really like. And it's called Wet Cement, A Mix of Concrete Poems. And in case you've forgotten what a concrete poem is, they are poems that take the shape or embody what they are about. So they are incredibly visual. And that is so great with little kids, especially. The other two kids are enjoying these and get some of the jokes, but the four-year-old Teddy like really loves these. And what I do is when we open the page, I let them guess what the poem's going to be about. So even though I have one that cannot read at all, he can see like the icicle poem was all written going down from the top of the page, you know, like icicles. And then the title was written going down the page like a giant icicle. And the one about the clock was written like a clock, so they could guess kind of the title. It's super fun. The poems are very cute, and all of them have kind of like hidden, like stuff that the older kids are kind of getting. They have like a little puzzle to them or something to really think about. That, you know, the time one was about, like, it goes on and on, but we don't have enough. Like, they're just really lovely. Each poem in this book is just two pages, the title and the poem, so it's completely approachable. You can do two or three, you know, at just sitting around and then put it down. I think is really approachable poetry. I've really been enjoying doing poetry with the kids. I know I've talked about a few books that we've gotten that we've liked, but this one is definitely the most fun. And I think just like so inclusive, like I enjoy it. I giggle at some of them. The hopscotch poem, I couldn't quite figure out even how to read the title because it was all like, I was like, am I going from the bottom? Am I going from the top? And so it's just been a fun thing to do with the kids. So I recommend it. It's called Wet Cement, A Mix of Concrete Poems. And that's it for our show. So one last time, if you have a question for us, you can email us at momanddad@slate.com. Please email us any questions that you have. We love reading them, even if we don't take them, but we love hearing from you. So don't be a stranger. Email us at momanddad@slate.com. Of course, you can also post it to the Slate Parenting Facebook group. You just search for Slate Parenting. Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Morgan Flannery. For Michaela Smith and Amon Ismail, I'm Elizabeth Newcamp.